Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org, and that is available kind of all the time, folks, and available to kind of everyone. That is one of the benefits of having this station, WDIY, with its national public radio programs and also local programs that are available to you. And in particular, Your Financial Choices is available on that site as well. You can go to local programs, do the drop down for Your Financial Choices, and listen to programs that might be more applicable to you. We talk about many different topics each week. Tonight, we are talking about tax reform and tax preparation. I was thinking, are we going to have tax reform? Didn't know. So we're going to go over some of those highlights tonight. Let's start with the date. Today is December 13, 2017. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing up at 24,585, the NASDAQ at 6875, and the S&P down at 2662. Again, talking about tax reform, and while I am live here tonight, the calls are in Pledge Central. You can call in there. If you have a question, you can let them know that you have a question for me tonight, and they will pass the phone to Lori C. She'll write the question down, and she'll bring it into the studio so that I can answer the question. If you just want to make a pledge for the end of the year here, which we talked about last week, we talked about charitable giving, the importance of charitable giving, and why it's in particular importance this year, as many folks may not benefit as much from charitable giving next year. Not that that's what drives your donations, and it shouldn't. You should be have that charitable intent regardless, I would say. But if you want a tax deduction, and that's like an extra plus and benefit, if you normally itemize, you would be eligible for that deduction this year with a contribution to WDIY or any of your favorite nonprofits. But what happens next year is tax reform might change things. We're going to talk about that, as I did last week as well. So the number to call in is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And of course, if you want to do a pledge, you can also do that online at wdiy.org. Also, if you have questions for me outside of tonight's show, just in general, yourfinancialchoices.com. I'm always happy to take listeners' questions. So let's talk a little bit about tax reform. So the big news today was that the Republicans struck a deal on sweeping tax overhaul, and they hope to have legislation passed, I guess, or voted on next week and then get it to President Trump's desk for signing. And, you know, that could be some big news. And what's interesting is it is that the Republicans have struck a deal. I think they've failed to include the Democrats for the most part on some of the input on that. And where I get a little nervous with tax reform, folks, being a CPA, is that not all the implications of the tax reform that are being proposed probably trickle down to an understanding of the norm, you know, of the regular taxpayer. Some of the changes in tax rates, changes in standard deduction, exemption, how they are communicated to, you know, the citizens in general is just that, in general. And until you drill down, sometimes you don't understand the ramifications of some of these proposals. It sounds great when they say, we're going to double the standard deduction. That sounds great. But for people who itemize, that might not be so great. Because maybe you regularly itemize and get deductions. Well, they're going to raise the standard deduction, eliminate some of the deductions that people who itemize would normally take. And, you know, it's just going to mix it up a lot. It's going to be complicated for people to know how it's going to impact them. Personally, I am more methodical about, kind of making my decisions. And for folks who listen to the show regularly, we always say be proactive, not reactive. What I'm afraid is going to happen is we are going to have a lot of people being reactive because they don't know how it hits them. In particular, when they give the overview of some of the tax changes, as I mentioned, doubling the standard deduction, they might be a little quiet that they're removing the personal exemptions. Then they might say, well, we're going to bring in a child tax credit or raise the child tax credit. That could offset some of that. But they're not talking about some of the little nuances that many of us have had in the past that we have benefited from, maybe when we were students or when our children were students. Certain benefits that were there for us may not be available for those folks in the future. I have a colleague whose daughter gets a stipend. She's in medical school, and she gets some tuition benefits. And some of the reform that they have talked about has talked about taxing that tuition. Well, when students get a small stipend, it's basically to live on, not necessarily to pay income taxes on money that they're not getting. So that tuition that they're getting, they want to tax that. And what many people don't realize is, you know, the cost of tuition, so much is folded into that. But these students are sometimes, you know, really grinding it out. They're doing work, their TAs are doing research. And it's, especially at the graduate level, benefiting, hopefully, our advancement in technology and science and math and, you know, even literature and the arts. This is all to advance us. So we've got to, be careful about celebrating a tax reform that we might not all understand. We had a call from Jamie in Schnecksville, and she asked that she gives to the Allentown Rescue Mission, Volunteer of America, Salvation Army. What about administrative costs on the dollar? They are better. What are better? Maybe the United Way? Can you specify charity within the United Way? Jamie, that was there's a number of things going on there. Sometimes you can give cash donations to those organizations, or as you mentioned, Allentown Rescue Mission, Volunteer of America, Salvation Army. A lot of times people are giving, you know, clothing and, household items and things like that. Whenever you make a donation, you want to get a receipt. If it's over $250, you definitely have to have a receipt. If you write a check, that serves as a receipt as well, but the charity should acknowledge it. As far as administrative costs on different charities, I think you probably would have to get that information online at each of their organizations on their website. There might be certain organizations, nonprofits, that have higher administrative costs because they might actually be, administering programs. So it's not always apples to apples. You want to be careful when we're kind of making, decisions based on administrative costs. But definitely with the United Way, you can specify a charity. So if you have a campaign at work and you're doing it through payroll deduction, you can specify a favorite a mission in within the United Way. For example, I'm part of Women United, and we make donations of a minimum of $1,000. And through payroll deduction, you can say United Way, put it toward Women United, and we support children and education for women and children. So, Jamie, I hope that answered your question. If you have questions, folks, the number is 610-758-8810, and that's also available for some last-minute pledges, right, Neil?
That's true, and I'll tell you more about that in just a moment.
Okay, back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
The time is 10 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to Your Financial Choices here on WDIY. And it is our fifth annual December Pledge Drive when we ask for your financial assistance as a new member, renewing member, or with an extra gift. And you can call 610-758-8810. Make your pledge of support there. Diana or Jamie will take your call. And you can also call in your questions to Your Financial Choices at the same number. Lori will take that call for you and field that question to us here in the studio. And Neil Heaver is my name. I'm the operations director. I'm joined by Lori Siebert. She's the host of this program. And this is not unfamiliar territory to you. Fund drives here at WDIY to help pay the bills. Our December fund drive comes right at the end of the year when people are still trying to itemize their deductions as well. That's an important factor, isn't it?
It's an absolutely important factor. I mean, we want the support regardless. But in particular this year, with pending tax reform, we may not get the same kind of deductions for our charitable giving next year as we would this year. So what we're talking to clients about quite a bit is accelerating their charitable giving into this year. So maybe doing an extra donation. And then guess what? We can still do one next year too, but accelerating it so you can get a deduction this year.
We have an opportunity to make what we call the extra gift here during our fund drives, which is even if you're an existing member, but you'd like to offer an extra gift, say like at the end of the year now, or also to support our partnerships, this is a good time to do it. And we do have, again, a partnership, and this is with the Ward's Oriental Rug Service and Gallery folks. They are paying for meals to Meals on Wheels. So for every $100 that we raise, they are going to provide 7 meals to Meals on Wheels. That adds up as the as the figures go up. They will provide those meals, and they pay for it. We don't pay for it. You don't pay for it. So if you pledge $100 to WDIY now, it all goes to support our programming here, like Your Financial Choices, or All Things Considered that we just left at 6 o'clock. And not a penny is diverted to pay for the Meals on Wheels meals. And it's a great organization worthy of our support. They help senior citizens. They help them stay in their homes. It's so many good benefits that come with that. They get a checkup. Make sure that they're okay. Think about that. Some people are isolated, and this is a very, very good and worthy program. We're happy to support it. We'd like you to do the same thing, too. So consider an end-of-the-year gift right now. Again, the number is 610-758-8810 or online at WDIY.org. We're looking for 5 calls or web pledges, and we'd love to say thank you to you.
Thank you, Neil. Welcome back to the show, Your Financial Choices. We're talking about tax reform. As we've mentioned, some of the pending tax reform might help you in making decisions about your charitable giving to get those deductions. What we heard today was that the Republicans came together and made some agreement. So the House put out a bill, I think, back in November, and the Senate put out theirs. It's gone so fast. I remember. I think it was at the end of November or mid-November. And now they discussed, talked, tried to say, where can we come together? They seem to have ironed out some agreement on a couple things where they differed. But there is still more agreement to go. They still have to talk about this. This has not been passed. They have to still sit down and iron out a bunch of differences, have agreed on some big things, but still many things to iron out. And they hope to get this something put together and voted and put on the president's desk to sign possibly next week. I, as a CPA, can hardly get my arms around it. So I'm really fascinated and amazed that our politicians are able to get their arms around it and understand it. And I know I sound a little cynical, folks, but this is so, so important. And it's a little bit overwhelming to go through such reform and changes without kind of sitting with it for a little bit. But what they have proposed, and I have no problem with tax reform simplification. I'm all for simplification, but some of this is just a little bit complicated. So some of the simplification they're hoping for is if they double the standard deduction, they eliminate people, you know, millions and millions of people from itemizing deductions, that will simplify the tax preparation. That's a plus. And probably in the hope that at some point when you're filing your tax return, basically it's just the tax information that's already reported to the IRS kind of goes there automatically, and maybe we can just confirm, hey, yes, that was my W-2 and that was my 1099 interest. Boom, pretty easy. I don't know if it really will get to that ease because, you know, there are always ways to work around things. People can afford to get accountants to work around things. Sometimes that happens. But also simplifying, so not only the tax forms and tax filing, but also simplifying the tax rates. But here's what's happening. I think President Trump originally had proposed three tax brackets. Well, then as each of these groups of politicians go through, it gets massaged. So the House, I think, had come up with four brackets, and the Senate has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 brackets, and we currently have 7 brackets. So that did not simplify that too much. So the Senate and the House disagree on the number of brackets and the tax rates. The House starts at 12% after those standard deductions and goes up to 39.6. But what they did, when you look at the tax brackets, they expanded some of the tax brackets. That's why you can't just look at this, compare it to where we are currently. For example, the House, traditionally the top tax bracket started for married filing joint folks at, oh golly, married filing joint started, the top tax bracket was at $466,000. The top tax bracket for the House starts now at $1 million for married filing joint, and that's at 39.6. So we start at 12. The current tax rates can be at, you know, even zero with capital gains and qualified dividends, and then 10%, 15, 25, 28, 33, 35, 39.6, and they go on up. The House has 12, 25, 35, and 39.6. So that sounds simpler. The Senate has just a bunch of tax rates and tax brackets, so it's a little more complicated to talk about that. But here's something that people haven't pasted together. Doubling the standard deduction, but eliminating the personal exemption. So if you look at your tax return and you look on page 2 of your tax return and you see if you currently have a standard deduction of, you know, 12 something, married filing joint's going to be 24. But you also had exemptions, and exemptions were, I'm just rounding, $4,000 per person. They're eliminating those. So if it's just a husband and wife each having a personal exemption of about $8,000 together, and your standard deduction of, you know, depending on your age, 12.6 and 12.6 doubling that, it's about 25. So 12.6 and 8,000, you're at 20,000. They're going to double the standard deduction to 24. You're almost a wash there. So that's what people don't understand when they're eliminating the personal exemptions. And if you have children, they're going to eliminate them even more. What they are going to do, though, is give us an extra child tax credit for those people who have children. Even though they're eliminating your exemption, they're giving us extra tax credits. So that might make up for losing that exemption at some point. They're going to raise the age, I think, of the exemption for the child, not of the child tax credit. But one thing I saw, too, they're talking about, and I think it was in the Senate, raising the threshold for that child tax credit. So people in the past, if you made $500,000, you didn't qualify for the child tax credit. Your income was too high. They're going to raise the income for that. So that's going to help a lot of people who are in the 35% tax bracket. Folks, we are at our second break. We're talking about tax reform. We're going to talk about tax preparation and what are some things that you can do before the end of the year. We still have a couple weeks left, but we're ready for our next break. But if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back to you, Neil.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices here on WDIY. Our fifth annual December Pledge Drive is underway through this week, through Friday. It's an opportunity for you to become a new member, renew your membership, or add in an extra gift. And that's an important thing to think about because as we hit the end of the year, two things need to happen. We need to make sure that WDIY stays financially on target as we move into 2018, and it's an opportunity for you to add an extra deduction to your taxes. And tonight, that is the discussion point, the new tax laws coming our way, and also how to best prepare yourself for taxes. And Lori always says be proactive, not reactive. So let's ask you to be proactive about supporting your public radio station by becoming a new member if you haven't done so before. We tripled our power 2 years ago, so that there are people now listening to this show in areas especially out west of us here in the Kutztown and Reading area in Berks County on the border there that have not heard this program before. If you've listened to it and you've benefited from some of the discussion that's gone on during your financial choices, why not make that choice to become a supporting member? You can do that by calling 610-758-8810. You can also go online to WDIY.org. Only takes a couple minutes of time. And if you have questions tonight for Lori, once again, that number is still available for questions as well, 610-758-8810.
And Neil, I want to add, as part of your financial choices as well, some other advice we have that can also help WDIY for folks who have matching programs through their employers, corporate matching with, for example, PPL and Air Products, and especially for those Air Products retirees who in the past would make their donations when they were working and they'd get a match, then they retired, the match wasn't there anymore. Well, Air Products came out this past year and said they're going to match retirees as well. So folks, maybe you're not set to call and make an extra donation tonight from your pocketbook, but you certainly could fill out those forms with your employer to get that matching and get that money over here to WDIY. It's free money for us, and we really appreciate that.
When somebody calls in, one of the questions that is on our standard form is, do you have a matching donation at work? And that's also on the website as well. So if you do have something like that or you're not sure about it, you can contact your HR folks and find out the answer to that and let us know. And we'd love to have that additional amount of donation.
And that even goes if you've made the donation earlier in the year. But tonight, we would love to hear from existing members who want to do a little extra for us this month or for new members. 610-758-8810. We just would like five calls tonight. We would really appreciate that.
We do have some activity on the web pledging right now that I will go check.
Okay, great. Let me kind of highlight some things that I think that folks have asked questions about when we're talking about tax reform and tax preparation. Tax reform, people say, is this going to apply to 2017? So a lot of people are like in a panic that this is going to apply in 2017 and it's going to muck things up. It's not. Both of the proposed changes in both the House and the Senate bills are forward looking. That means after 2017 for the most part. I think they were trying to get through some changes for the corporations. But for individuals, we're looking forward to 2017. Another item that has come up with questions, and this one I'm even having a little trouble understanding, but they also plan to retain the tax treatment of qualified dividends and capital gains. Capital gains, we're talking about long-term capital gains. Qualified dividends are that portion of dividends that you get from your investments in your individual joint accounts that qualify for lower tax rates. So qualified dividends, long-term capital gains qualify for a lower tax rate. And it's the proposal I'm reading from Wolters Kluwer, which is our tax resource folks, and they are really, really great. It says neither the House nor the Senate bill changes the current tax treatment of qualified dividends and capital gains. What I don't understand, though, is to the extent someone is in the 15% tax bracket currently, those capital gains and qualified dividends are taxed at zero. So if you file your tax return, single or married, family, joint, head of household, and you are in a 15% tax bracket or lower, and you have qualified dividends and or long-term capital gains, to the extent that is in the 15% tax bracket, they are zero. So when we're talking about tax bracket changes, which will include a 12% bracket, then to the 25 in the House, and the Senate bill is 10 to 12 to 22, there is no 15% bracket in either of these proposed plans. But what I haven't seen in the fine print is, what is the capital? When do we apply the zero rate to the capital gains? Now, I had seen some blurb that said, well, to the extent it's in the old 15% tax bracket. Folks, make up your mind. Are we simplifying taxes? Are we making things simpler, or is it more complicated? Are we going to have to look at the current tax brackets and the old tax brackets and the new tax brackets? I don't know. So that's the part I don't understand. How are we going to know what is subject to the 0% rate? Is it the 12% bracket, or literally, are we going to have to reference back to the old 15% tax bracket that we have currently? That's kind of what I had read. I would like some clarification on that. We have, what else here? We talked about the personal exemptions going away. Some of the deductions that folks, I guess who are going to get hit the most are people who itemize deductions, because they're talking about eliminating the state and local income tax deduction, the sales tax deduction, miscellaneous itemized deductions. About the only deductions that would be left would be some mortgage interest and some charitable contributions. But for a lot of people who itemize now, and you say, oh, well, I have charitable contributions and mortgage interest anyway, I can still take those. Well, if they double the standard deduction and the standard deduction's higher than itemizing, you might not need to itemize anymore. You won't get the benefit from itemizing. Hence why we're talking about why you wouldn't necessarily benefit from the charitable deduction next year. If they double the standard deduction, and right now the standard deduction's 12.6, and let's pretend you have state and local income taxes of $10,000, you have charitable contributions of $5,000, you have real estate taxes of $5,000, you have mortgage interest deduction of $10,000, all of that together adds up more than the standard deduction you're benefiting. But if they eliminate so many of those itemized deductions, that's the piece I think that people aren't, you know, connecting the dots. So what we might see is, you know, charities might be impacted, the housing market might be impacted, and they're talking about that could happen. They were, I think the House bill was talking about for future mortgages, I think it's going to be based on a certain date, allowing mortgage interest only on homes $500,000 or less. And I believe the Senate was retaining the home mortgage interest deduction completely. And now they're talking about maybe, I think, some compromise on $750,000 of mortgages that they could still take the interest. So property taxes, that deduction might go away, but then that's the House. The House had said property taxes up to $10,000 could be deducted. The Senate was going to carve out property taxes. So it's very confusing, and you have to be careful what you're listening to and what you hear. And if you feel like you're confused, then maybe, you know, you need more clarification. You need to find out where you can go to get more clarification. Folks, we're at the halfway point. If you have questions, we have Pledge Central going on, but you can call in and ask for Lori C., and she'll write the question down and bring it into the studio. And if you're not calling in to ask questions, we certainly hope you're calling in to give an extra pledge to WDIY before the end of the year.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Your financial choices will continue in just a moment here on WDIY. This is Operations Director Neil Heaver reminding you that this is our fifth annual December Pledge Drive, just a couple of days where we ask for your financial support as we head towards 2018 to help tie up some financial loose ends, put us on a good footing as we enter the new year. The number to call in with your questions is the same number that you can make a pledge at, and that's 610-758-8810. And you can also give online securely at WDIY.org. We're looking for five calls or web pledges during this program, and we have our icebreaker. We'd like to say thank you to Kathleen of Allentown. That's a renewal from Kathleen. Thank you. And one thing that you can do that many people do is they become what's called a sustaining member. So you take that membership dollar amount that you want to give, and you spread it out. Each month, you have a credit card available for that. Lots of people are paying different things that way these days. It's set it and forget it, as I call it. And it could be $5, $10, $20 a month, whatever is comfortable for you. 610-758-8810. Four more calls or web pledges during this edition of Your Financial Choices. And we will stay on target financially for this program this Wednesday here on WDIY. Thanks for joining us. Lori Siebert is with us for Your Financial Choices.
Welcome back to the show, folks. I do want to mention, if you are charitably inclined, a lot of times people will say, well, what if I do it on my credit card? Well, if you put the whole donation on a credit card currently, you get that full deduction when you make it, even if you're not paying it until January. So donations made via check or credit card are deemed at that time. Last week, I had Erica Riddle Petrozelli from Lehigh Valley Community Foundation on the show, and we talked about charitable giving and all the different ways that you can do that. And many folks are interested in doing big, big donations, and you can do that sometimes to a donor advised fund and make that big contribution this year, and then over the next, you know, subsequent years, make your contribute your donations from that donor advised fund. So you could make a big donation to a donor advised fund and then each year continue to support WDIY as well. I heard something too coming in on the radio tonight when I was driving in. I heard Neil mention that, you know, it's such a community here. When we talk about this being community public radio, and we're not just making this stuff up to pacify ourselves. I mean, it really is a community here. We have a community of volunteers. I think there's like 100 volunteers. Neil, is there something like 100 volunteers?
More than that.
Okay.
We have volunteers in several levels here. They're in programming. So the hosts that you hear, 99% of those that you hear programming here are volunteers. And then there's also volunteers that help us administratively. So it's probably more in the range of about 150.
So lots of volunteers, but you were also so plugged into the community, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
And for people who are transient, coming into our community for the first time, it's a great place to live, the Lehigh Valley. What a way to get involved. What a way to get connected. Number one, you can come in and get trained to be a volunteer here if you have any interest. That's always exciting. But also just to be aware of all the different events in the area, because WDIY is a media sponsor for so many of the things going on in the Lehigh Valley, whether it's at the Symphony or the State
yeah.
Theater or wherever.
We'll mention then, that since you brought it up, one benefit that can come your way as a member here is an email on Sundays, a weekly email. And in that email, this is particularly good for people who have just moved to the Lehigh Valley and are wondering what goes on around here. 6 to 8 events are highlighted there, and it has details about them. It could be Symphony Hall. It could be the Williams Center for the, you know, over in Easton. It could be something going on maybe at Godfrey Daniels on the south side of Bethlehem, Zollner Arts Center. Anywhere around the Lehigh Valley where there's a cultural event going on, you'll see what it is, what's going on, the date and everything, and then have an opportunity to get a pair of tickets if you want them. So, yes, we are deeply involved with the community, and we have been since day one when we started the workup to get to public radio. We've been deeply involved in this community, and that's why we want you here as well. And again, I'll give that number out again. Okay. It's 610-758-8810 for those of you who want to support the station. But you can also ask a question for Lori tonight regarding taxes, and she'll also answer questions outside of that field as well. Typically, you do that in each program. So,
thanks, Neil. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the listeners as well, and especially for those folks who are calling in. I appreciate the support of the show as well. So 610-758-8810, new members are always welcome. I love that. So I want to mention a few other things about the tax reform, and then I'm going to try to talk for a little bit about some ideas, some planning strategies, some things that it's not too late to do at the end of the year here. I want to mention that a lot of the proposals that came out of the Senate are temporary. That's the other important element. They are temporary. So some of these are set to expire. The House was a little bit more permanent on what they were talking about. Another item, initially, it was all talk about no alternative minimum tax for people who are subject to AMT. It is also very confusing and hard to understand. We were all so excited when they talked about eliminating the alternative minimum tax, but when the numbers weren't working out, they had to kind of give back something, and that is one of the things I think they're looking at bringing back. I believe the Senate bill included continuing the alternative minimum tax, but with some modifications. So the House, I think, was going to eliminate it, but the Senate wants to retain it, but with modifications. So let me do some high-level things here. Doubling the standard deduction, removing personal exemptions, both were thinking of doing that. The Senate is proposing to increase child and family tax credits. The House was also increasing them, but not at the same level. The Senate is lowering tax brackets, tax rates, but retaining like seven different ones. The House was bringing it down to four, also lowering it. But you have to understand when they talk about lowering taxes, but then eliminating deductions, it doesn't always mean you're lowering your taxes when they say they're lowering your taxes, because they're taking away other things sometimes. The standard deduction, they're both talking about basically doubling the standard deduction. Those numbers are very, very close. The corporate tax rate, they just made an agreement today. The Senate was looking at putting it to 20%, and so was the House. Now they're thinking more like 21% again, because I think the numbers weren't adding up. Pass-through income. Pass-through income is hard for most people to understand, and it's basically self-employed people have different kinds of business structures, and that income a corporate level might get a benefit, but if you're self-employed or a partner or S-corp or something, certain pass-through income gets taxed at individual rates. So they're talking about giving them a little bit of a break. I think that could be very, very complicated, and I can't go into that right now. But the House was proposing a 25% tax on that, and the Senate has 23%. I already mentioned the alternative minimum, and they're both talking about removing exemptions completely. Some of the other things, getting rid of student loan interest. I think the Senate was going to keep certain education credits, whereas the House was going to eliminate the lifetime learning credit and just make it all this HOPE the HOPE credit, the American Opportunity, not the HOPE credit, I apologize, the American Opportunity Tax Credit, but give it a five-year period instead of a four-year period. Well, that could work out for some people who are in school 5 years or 4 years, but for graduate students, that doesn't necessarily help you. If you've already had the American Opportunity Credit for 4 years, you could have still used the Lifetime Learning Credit. You know, just my little opinion here is that folks in grad school are really, really going to get hit. You're not getting a student loan deduction. You're not getting, possibly not getting education credits. Your tuition's probably going to get taxed. So that doesn't sound like it's encouraging continued education or advanced education for very many people. And I'm not sure what that will do when we're talking about being an advanced nation if we're not going to encourage education the way that we have in the past. So I've talked about alternative minimum tax. Real quick, federal estate tax. Since federal estate tax only affects about 1% of the country, That is for people with estates over, about $10 million, married, filing, joint, about $5.5 million if you're single. The House was talking about doubling the federal estate tax exemption and then later eliminating the estate tax after 2024. And the Senate bill would keep the federal estate tax but would temporarily double the current exemption through 2025. Affordable Care Act, it looked like today that when the House, the Republicans were kind of talking about can they come to some agreement between the Senate and the House, they appear to have agreed, and again, this is me just reading very fast today, the House and Senate did appear to agree to waive the insurance mandate. So for folks who do not have insurance, there's been a penalty. And we have to, when we file our income tax return, acknowledge that we do have health insurance coverage. And if we don't, then there is a penalty. I don't even recall what the penalty is off the top of my head. I think I heard someone say something like, I don't know, $696. So now they're going to waive the mandate for health insurance. So you won't have to pay that penalty if you don't have health insurance anymore. I guess you'll just be in trouble if you need health insurance because you won't have it then. I'm not going to talk about the differences in the business. It's just too complicated. So let's talk about what you can do and what are we looking at year end that folks can do. Basically, I wanted to mention, I think the House had talked about not allowing you to convert IRA money to Roth IRAs. Any regular listener knows I love Roth IRAs. When we convert from an IRA to a Roth, it's a tax planning strategy quite often. If someone's in a very low tax bracket today and we think they're going to be in a high tax bracket in the future, or it could even be an estate planning technique where we will have folks convert from an IRA to a Roth. And then when I pass away, I can pass on this income tax-free asset to my kids and because I would have already paid the taxes on it. So you kind of pay the taxes today and let the account grow and earn, you know, growth and earnings tax-free in when you eventually take it out in a qualified distribution. So I think the Senate walked away from this. I don't think they responded. It sounds to me like they're not going to really do too much with retirement accounts. But when they're doing everything so quickly and we're getting information, you know, piecemeal, and it's hard to kind of decipher what's going on, my concern is what else is there going to be that we don't know about? If they were to, you know, not allow folks to convert IRA money to Roth IRAs, that's a big kind of, you know, strategy that folks are using. So that's almost like a tax hike right there. So when we talk about tax simplification and lowering taxes, I guess it depends on who you are. So what we are doing is we're looking this year to see what does the tax return look like for 2017. And based on some assumptions that we kind of think for sure would go through, if not this month, folks, there is probably going to be tax reform. If they don't get it passed this month, maybe it'll be January, February, March. Personally, I would love for them to take a little bit more time. Just why not? Why not take a little bit more time and kind of think all this through? If we know it's not going to apply till 2018 anyway, what's the big rush? So we want to look at your 2017 kind of situation and what you might expect it to be for 2018. And when we look at that, if we say, well, in 2017, I was able to itemize, I had charitable contributions, I had, you know, income tax deductions. And next year, if we double the standard deduction and we don't allow the state and local income tax deduction or miscellaneous itemized deductions, where would my itemized deductions be? And if I'm married filing joint and they are under $24,000, well, then you're not going to itemize next year. You're just going to have the standard deduction. So if you know you're itemizing this year, you know you're charitably inclined, you know, irregardless of the tax deduction, but by the way, you still could get the tax deduction this year. If you've got the funds available, you could accelerate your contribution into 2017. I'll talk about a few other ideas we have before year end when I come back from this next break. 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Thank you for joining us tonight here on WDIY for your financial choices. Our December Pledge Drive is underway through Friday, an opportunity for you to become a new member, renew your membership, or add in an extra gift. The number to call is the same as the number that you call for questions for your financial choices. That's 610-758-8810. You can also go online, like a number of people have this afternoon, to make your pledge of support there at WDIY.org. We did thank Kathleen of Allentown for a renewal. You can join Kathleen and also Cynthia of Bethlehem with their online renewals. And that's WDIY.org. Look for the donate button. Click on that. There'll be a few questions to ask, and it only takes a couple minutes of time. It's a good opportunity at the end of the year, too, to add into any kind of charitable contribution that you want to do before 2017 ends. And I can't believe that I'm saying it, but 2018 is on the way. And we'd love to say thank you to you for your contributions, new members, renewing members, and extra gifts. You will also trigger a contribution from the folks at the Ward's Oriental Rug Service and Gallery to the Meals on Wheels program, where they will provide meals to that organization, 7 meals for every $100 we raise, and that helps needy people and seniors in the Lehigh Valley stay independent and stay in their homes and be well fed. And we think that's a great program to support, and your dollars will support not only the station, but trigger that donation from Ward's. We think that's a great thing to do as we head into this great holiday giving season. So we're going back now to your financial choices. Lori, we joined the program talking about taxes tonight.
Thank you, Neil. And folks, sorry, I tend to overpitch during these kinds of programs because I am so dedicated to the station, folks. I have loved being here at WDIY, and I think just by the virtue of us having over 150 volunteers, that says something about the group here and how committed we are to the community. I wanted to educate. I am a frustrated wannabe teacher. I wanted to educate, and I was on another radio station prior to joining here, and I landed at home when I landed here, and I hope that the listeners in the Valley have appreciated it. I do it all for you and hope that it makes a difference in your lives, especially for folks who can't afford good financial advice. I feel like we're doing a service, just as so much of the programming that we do here is providing a service to our community, whether it's music or the NPR programming that we bring to you. So please call and give us a little extra or become a new member, 610-758-8810. So when we're talking about some other last minute things that we can do that I think some people may not think about is, when you filed your 2016 tax return, if you owed taxes, and this sometimes will happen to people who are self-employed, for people who maybe got an inheritance, for people who might have sold some stock or mutual funds or rental properties or a lot, all of a sudden you have extra income on your tax return that you might not have thought about. So you file your 2016 tax return, you owe some taxes, and now you have to say to yourself at that time, for my 2017 income tax return, will my federal withholdings, will my state withholdings cover that tax due? And if it's not going to cover the tax due, then we do something called estimated tax payments, quarterly estimated tax payments. The IRS is a pay-as-you-go system. They expect you to pay your taxes as you go. If we do it through withholdings, it's deemed to be done evenly throughout the year. If we do it in quarterly estimates, it's literally accredited to us at that time. But one of the things, one of the safe harbors we have is to pay in as much as we owed in the prior year. So sometimes we set up our quarterly estimated payments to cover those taxes for things like capital gains and dividends that we have. Well, anyone who's paid attention to anything in the market this year or has investments in the market, if you hold assets individually or jointly and you sold or realized some of your gains this year, realized means you had to have sold it, you realized some gains, you might have some really big capital gains this year. The market's been performing well for several years. So back in 2008, a lot of folks might have had a lot of losses, but those losses, those carry forward losses, which they do carry forward indefinitely until you use them against other gains or 3,000 against ordinary income every year, they carry forward until they're used up or you die. But a lot of those losses are gone. So now when folks are realizing gains, taking, you know, kind of making sure they get those gains, they get nervous in the market, they're not sure where it's going to go, sell. All of a sudden you have huge capital gains, you're going to owe taxes this year. So here's the other thing you want to look at. What are your gains this year? You're going to owe money for federal, but if you have a safe harbor and you're paid in at least as much as you owed in the prior year, you might not have to mess with your quarterly payments, but you still might have a big payment due in April. So you want to be prepared for that, right? You want to make sure if you're going to owe $10,000 next April that you have the money available. But the other thing is if you had a really big gain in 2017, you also are going to probably owe a decent amount of taxes on your Pennsylvania return, on your state return, whether it's New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York. And if your quarterly payments are based on 2016 and maybe your gains weren't as high, you might owe a lot more money. Safe harbor works fine. But guess what? In 2018, you might not get that income tax deduction. Remember, that's what we've been talking about. So is there something that you might owe state and local taxes on that isn't due until April, but maybe you could accelerate the payment of those taxes in 2017 if you're going to get an income tax deduction on your Schedule A? The government entities let us wait until January 15th to make that fourth quarter estimate. And a lot of times that's very convenient. And it's because some of us don't know what our income is until after December 31st. But for the most part, folks who've realized capital gains already, they kind of have an idea of what they are. So let's pretend you had $50,000 of capital gains, and you live in Pennsylvania and you didn't pay estimates, you could go ahead and pay your 3.07% on $50,000 is $1,500. You make the payment December. You can go online, get a PA40ES voucher, print out that voucher, plunk down the amount that you want to pay, $1,500. And if you itemize and you're in the 25% tax bracket, that would save you about $384. $384 of tax savings by paying it in December instead of waiting until next year. Again, that is if you itemize and you're not subject to alternative minimum tax, because alternative minimum tax, we don't get that deduction anyway. That's something a lot of people don't realize, too, with the tax reform. When they talk about getting rid of the state and local income tax deduction, people who are in alternative minimum tax never got that deduction anyway. So it doesn't impact them. It's not going to hurt them like it is some people who are not subject to alternative minimum tax. But so we've talked about accelerating charitable contributions, and we talked about accelerating maybe our state and local income tax. The local income tax typically only applies to earned income. So we might see that when we have self-employed people. So if your self-employment income was like through the roof this year and you didn't have to make quarterly payments before, you might want to calculate what that tax is and get that paid in December. Again, you just print out a quarterly voucher and write that check, put your Social Security number on it, and get that mailed in before year end so that you can take the deduction. Most of us are cash basis taxpayers. We take the deduction in the year we pay it. Granted, when we go to file our tax return, the government entities do let us take, you know, that credit for those estimated payments, even though we made it in January. We don't get it as a deduction. We get to count it toward our payment, not as a deduction. You want it to match up. Recall, though, or remember, because there's a lot to take in when I'm talking so fast. the federal isn't a deduction. The federal estimate is not a deduction. So when I'm having these conversations with people, I'm saying, hey, let's see if we can get that Pennsylvania or that local quarterly payment, that fourth quarter payment in December. You can wait to do your federal quarterly payment because it doesn't matter. You're going to get credit for it anyway. It's not a deduction. But it's not just doing the fourth quarter in December. It's about, am I going to owe even more tax? Because if I'm going to owe even more tax to my state and local, let's bump up that fourth quarter payment. If I'm supposed to do $300 and I know I'm going to owe another $1,500, let's bump it up to $1,800. So for business owners, there's also other deductions you can accelerate. For individuals, there's other deductions you can accelerate as well, like medical expenses. There's talk about in the reform that some of the medical deductions might go away. They're probably going to be battling about that. But for people who can accelerate some of their medical deductions, maybe you're going to have a big dental bill. You're going to have hearing aids, glasses. You need to run into the doctor or the dentist and get that kind of paid up in front if you think you're going to qualify for the medical deduction. There's a bigger limitation this year in 2017, though, just so you know. For people who were itemizing before and got that medical deduction, it was subject to, if you were over 65, it was subject to a 7.5% limitation. If you're now, there's it's no 7.5%, it's 10%, 10% limitation. So if you got a big deduction in the past, it might be a haircut on it now. So watch out for that. So maybe accelerate deductions into 2017, wait on some income. Maybe what it's looking like, some people might be in a lower tax bracket in 2018. So, I talked about conversions earlier. If I converted money from an IRA to a Roth, pay the tax on it this year. Well, if my taxpayer is in a 15% tax bracket, I don't know if I would convert if next year I think they might be in a 12% tax bracket, or under the Senate bill might be a 10% bracket. So you want to watch out for that. Folks, we're coming up toward the end of the show, and I want to use the last few minutes to talk about hopefully all the information that we provide in this show every week, your financial choices. WDIY has a website as well, wdiy.org. There's lots of things you can do on that website, wdiy.org. And that is listen to some of our programs. You can stream online and be live right with the program, but you can also go listen to some of our podcasts of shows that we've done in the past. Your Financial Choices has shows up there. I'm a periodic host for a Lehigh Valley Discourse segment called Lessons with Leaders. We have interviewed Rick Anderson, Dave Jandel, Mike Gosling, and our latest one was Cassie Hilgert, who's CEO and president of ArtsQuest. Lots and lots of great information and community involvement here at WDIY, a great place to send your charitable giving. And we would love to see some new members before the end of the hour. Neil, we wanted 5 calls. Any chance we got close to that?
We have some up on the web that are not processed yet, and they have to go through and get finished. So it looks like we'll probably get around 3 or 4. So we're close.
Okay.
We're close.
So if anyone's on the fence, there's still a couple minutes. I would love to see some support of your financial choices as well. And lots of financial education, again, that we do each week. I love topic ideas. I love calls. I love live calls. This week, we couldn't do that. But next week, we are going to be back. And we are going to talk about gift giving with family. Gift giving with family. This is when you want mom and dad to listen to the show. Gift giving with family. The ways and the benefits. We have coming up next Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. I want to thank our listeners tonight. I want to thank the folks who called in, their extra pledge, their extra giving. Really appreciate it. That number again, 610-758-8810, or through the website wdiy.org. Remember, folks, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.